Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from The Scarlet Threads, a history of the mystery called Babylon, and we have traced it from the mysteries of pagan Babylon that were passed on to Assyria and Medo-Persia and Greece, and then Rome, pagan Rome. But Rome didn't just die. The mysteries were passed on to the popes of the near Middle Ages and on down through, and it's been with us ever since. Babylon has not been destroyed. Look at Revelation at the end, and you will see what I'm talking about. I feel like I have to say that each time, because as I get into things that are very familiar to us, you're thinking, what does that have to do with Babylon? Well, here's what it has to do. We're talking about how Babylon has kind of zeroed in on the city of Rome and stayed there for a long time. Rome in the 1900s is on the verge of undoing some of the shame that was caused her in 1870. If you recall, that's when all of her property was ruthlessly stripped away. Now, a naked sovereign is still a sovereign, but normally not quite so proud. I've already documented the pride of that naked period. And now for some clothing. And who shall take us to the clothing store? Well, he must be Italian. He must hate what the Vatican hates, namely the present government of Italy in those days. He must be a strong leader upon whom we can depend. He must have a world vision. Yes, Mr. Mussolini, Il Duce, you will do fine. And from this day on, I, Papa, the Pope, will recognize you and your government, Il Duce, if you will help make me the ruler I used to be. You will be my new Charlemagne, my new Constantine, and welcome to Italy. Now, can it really be that one who was feared and hated the world over for his atrocious dictatorial style, second only perhaps to Hitler, who was his peer and ally, could he be so warmly accepted by the, quote, church? Oh, yes. Just as Pius XI in 1922 is condemning democracy on this side of the Atlantic, fascism and Nazism are being blessed into being on the other side. And at the head of the Italian form of that disease is one hailed by the Vatican as a man sent by divine providence, Benito Mussolini. Now, that's well-documented history, and it's often a shock to those who haven't taken the time to check it out. I give you, in the next paragraphs, actual excerpts from, first, the treaty between Italy and the Holy See, the Vatican. That's 1929. And then from the Concordat. That's the Vatican's formalization of relationships with a secular power. Here's the treaty. Article 1. Italy recognizes that the Catholic, Apostolic, and Roman religion, Catholic Church, is the sole religion of the state. Oh, okay. Article 2. Italy recognizes the sovereignty of the Vatican, the Pope, in the international field as an inherent attribute of its nature. And I've got to say amen to that. But its nature is not what they're talking about here. Anyway, in conformity with its traditions and the exigencies of its mission in the world. Article 4, there cannot be any interference whatsoever on the part of the Italian government within Vatican City. There will be no other authority than the Holy See. Article 8, Italy considers the person of the Supreme Pontiff, the Pope, as sacred and inviolable, and declares attempts against him or incitement to commit them punishable by the same penalties established for attempts or incitement to commit them against the person of the King. Wow. Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. They persecuted me, they'll persecute you. My kingdom's not of this world, or my servants would fight. Article 24. In consequences of this declaration, Vatican City will always and in every case be considered neutral and inviolable territory. Don't mess with the Vatican. And that's me speaking. Article 26. The Holy See agrees, the Pope agrees, that the Roman question is definitely and irrevocably settled and therefore eliminated, and recognizes the Kingdom of Italy under the dynasty of the House of Savoy, with Rome the capital of the Italian state. Italy, in her turn, recognizes the state of the Vatican City under the sovereignty of the Supreme Pontiff. Oh boy. So, what's the Pope's response to all of that? What was the concordat that he signed? Article 1. Italy, according to the terms of Article 1 of the treaty, assures to the Catholic Church free exercise of spiritual power, free and public exercise of worship. Article 5. Apostate priests or those incurring censure cannot be employed in a teaching post or any office or employment in which they have immediate contact with the public. So here's the state interfering with the works of the church, backing up the church's condemnation of false teachers. Article 11. The state recognizes the holidays established by the church, which are All Sundays, whoa, New Year's Day, Epiphany, Saint Joseph's Day, Ascension Day, Corpus Domini, the Feast of the Apostles Saints Peter and Paul, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, All Saints Day, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and Christmas Day, 60-some days a year. The state says we're with the church. Article 19. Before an archbishop, bishop, or a coadjutor is nominated, the Holy See shall communicate the name of the chosen person to the Italian government in order to be sure that the government has no objections of a political nature against such person. We're going to let, just like in Constantine's day, we're going to let the government help us make decisions regarding what we do in the church. Article 36. Italy considers the teaching of Christian doctrine, read Catholic there, according to the forms received from Catholic tradition, as the foundation and crown of public education. Therefore, Italy consents that the religious teaching now imparted in the elementary schools be further developed in the middle schools. Only textbooks approved by the ecclesiastical authorities will be used in the public schools for religious training. You're going to teach religion at school? You got to do it the Catholic way. Well, this is what the Vatican does, folks. That was the end of those quotes. This is what the Vatican does in any country where the door is open, or if she can shove hard enough, even where the door is shut. Is there a catechism in your child's future? After all, says Pius XI, quote, there exists an institution able to safeguard the sanctity of the law of nations. This institution is part of every nation. At the same time, it is above all nations, divinely commissioned to lead mankind. She has great prestige, which has been greatly increased since the close of the war, World War I. I cannot but succeed. She cannot tolerate that the state violate the rights of God himself over civil society. That was ratified in December 23, 1922. That's Rome. Next time we get together, we'll talk about Mussolini's ally, and partner, who likewise was basically owned by the Vatican, in one sense. Incredible stuff, don't you think? And I have to always hasten to add, we're not talking about Roman Catholic people here. We're talking about a system that grabbed hold of the early church and hasn't let go yet. And that's why God, I believe, calls his people out of it. And if your Protestant church starts looking Romanist, you need to get out of that too. Come out from among them and be separate. Now, there's a lot of reasons not to leave the church. Don't use this as an excuse to escape because you don't like the preacher or the color of the carpet. But there are reasons to get out. And if it's looking like this Babylon, it's time to leave. Okay, that's it for this time. When we come back, as I said, we'll talk about Mr. Hitler and World War II. We'll start talking about it. And this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk again real soon. Bye-bye.